A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 40. Bevine. Din did as he was told. There was nothing else that he could do. There was no give in Boba's voice, in his stance. Boba stood like he was braced for a fight, like a wounded bladeback that had been backed into a dead-end canyon, ready to charge Din and run him down if there was no other way out. "He told me to stop," Din thought distantly. His own body felt very far away. He bent and mechanically collected his helmet from where it had fallen after Din had brought the darksaber down on the table. His ears were ringing. "He told me to stop, so..." Boba had stopped, all those weeks ago. When Din had been overwhelmed, hadn't been able to hear another word, hadn't been able to bear what Boba had been trying to tell him. He could still taste the word on his tongue. "Gev." Boba had listened then. He had let Din go. Din didn't understand. His thoughts were whirling and confused, everything disordered, a jumble of shock and pain and anger. But even though he didn't understand, Din still knew what it was that he had agreed to. Gev protected Din and Boba both. Din had always had the suspicion that the word was more for his sake than Boba's, but Boba had always been insistent that they could both use it if they ever needed to. And now... "Now," Din managed to think, distantly, in the part of his mind that was always capable of thinking through a fight, through a hail of blaster fire, or an injury, or even something like this. A blow that Din hadn't been braced for and hadn't been expecting. "Boba needs it." Din didn't understand. Boba wasn't Mandalorian, had never been Mandalorian. But Din could still keep his word. He could still do what he was told. So Din tucked his helmet underneath his arm. He clipped the darksaber back into place on his hip. He even managed to make himself meet Boba's eyes again, only through Boba's black visor, which was flashing like a Verd knife. And then Din left. He closed the door behind him. For one brief, fragmented second, Din thought that Boba would change his mind, that he would wrench the door open and pull Din back inside, that Din could apologize, take a breath, explain. But Boba didn't open the door. And the immediate onslaught of noise from the throne room, music and chatter and bellowing laughter, shouts and the low murmur of 50 whispered conversations, the clink of credits across tables, made Din flinch. None of the palace's visitors had left after Boba had ended court, as far as Din could tell. Tava and the human woman were still guarding Din's hallway, but past them a mass of bodies seethed, dancing or arm wrestling, playing cards, drinking and doing business, jostling past each other for a spot at the bar. Din thought of trying to shoulder his way through the crowd to get to his own rooms and flinched again. "Boba, he wants me to leave," Din thought. Boba's furious voice, his cold alien anger, echoed in Din's ears. "What does that mean?" He had told Din to cark off and go find others, to go find real Mandalorians. But only minutes before that, Boba had defended Din in front of Koska, had refused to let Koska stay in the palace because he'd thought that she might try to hurt Din. He doesn't want me to disappear, Din thought, a little desperately. Underneath all of his confusion, all of his panic, the realization that Din had fundamentally misunderstood Boba from the very beginning of their friendship. Din still knew Boba. Boba wasn't Mandalorian, but But he hasn't been Mandalorian this whole time, Din thought. From the way Boba had spoken, it wasn't like Boba was Din. Din had had his creed and then he'd broken it. He'd been Mandalorian and now he wasn't. From the way Boba talked, it sounded like he'd never been Mandalorian. But he still... He looked after me, took care of me. Boba was angry now, but Din had seen Boba angry before. Not this angry, but angry enough. And even when Boba had been angry about the Jedi, angry about Din's stubbornness, he hadn't wanted Din to vanish from Tatooine, from the outfit, entirely. He'd just wanted space, time. That was before I told him to his face that I didn't know him at all, though, Din thought. Now that he was on the other side of a door from Boba, now that the immediate threat of violence had passed, Din couldn't help but wince. Did he just want me to leave the room? Din's heart was thumping hard against his ribs, painful and swollen, beating too fast. Or the palace? Does he want me to leave Tatooine? Does he want me to stay gone? Din was going to have to leave Tatooine anyway, at least for a few days. Koska had left him with the Darksaber. She'd carry on the news that Din was Darmanda, but... But I don't know what to do, Din thought miserably. His chest was tight. His armor was tight. He wanted to be alone. He wanted... Din turned away from the throne room and moved down the hallway, away from the noise, each step measured and precise. His body still knew what to do, even though the rest of Din had been thrown into chaos and confusion. Wading through the throne room like this wasn't safe. Din was too tense. His shoulders were pulled too tight. He didn't want to hurt anyone. He didn't want to frighten his friends. He wanted the solitude, the safety, of his rooms. But not if getting there meant elbowing his way through 100 other beings. The fly, Din thought, trying to think of where else he could go to be alone, where he could be safe. The palace. The palace was Boba's territory. Everyone in it answered to him. Even if Din retreated to the kitchens with Ushib, he'd still be in Boba's palace, and Boba had told Din to leave. But the fly, she's mine, Din thought. The Ahra had given it to him. They'd done it through Boba, but it was Din's ship. It wasn't the Razor Crest, battered and familiar, but safe because Din had made it safe. But retreating to the fly was still a better option than staying in the palace. The fly had a sealable plug door. It had shields. Din turned at the end of the hall, resisting the urge to break into a dead sprint, and made himself move towards the landing bay at the back of the palace. It wasn't that Din thought that Boba would turn on him, that Boba would throw Din into the dungeons or out into the sands, that Din wasn't still safe here, at least from physical harm, in the palace. Boba was... No, Din thought, pushing it away. He didn't want to think about what Boba was or wasn't. He was too off balance for that, too hurt, too bewildered. Din needed to get away first, to get his heartbeat under control, his breathing. The adrenaline that had flooded him when he'd pulled the Darksaber on Koska was already fading away, leaving Din shaky in its wake. Once Din was calmer... He pushed away thoughts of what might happen next, too, and focused on getting to the landing bay without further trouble. Koska was gone. Din didn't run into her, or anyone else, really, aside from the guards who were stationed at the mouths of branching hallways or patrolling the palace, most of whom knew Din by sight, even with his helmet tucked underneath his arm, and let him go without comment, on his way to the landing bay, which was good. If Din saw Koska before he managed to get himself back under control, he was probably going to punch her. It wasn't Koska's fault that Dan had made this mistake, that Dan had assumed that Boba was Mandalorian, had assumed that Boba understood what it meant to be Mandalorian, and therefore understood Din. Kark, Din thought. If I'd bothered to just ask her outright, she would have told me that Boba's not Mandalorian. They all know. Kreese's hostility towards Boba, and Koska's by default, since she seemed to follow Kreese in everything that Kreese did, made more sense now, beyond the fact that Kreese had been Death Watch and Boba was Jango Fett's son. Din had thought that their dislike of each other was just clan politics, but it wasn't. Kreese hated Boba because he wasn't a Mandalorian, and Boba hated Kreese because... Because what? Din wondered. Why? If he's not a Mandalorian at all, why does he care about clan politics, about picking up his father's grudge? Din made himself wrench his thoughts away from all of that, too. None of it mattered. At least, none of it mattered right now. What mattered now was doing what Boba had asked, and finding somewhere safe to hunker down where Din could lick his wounds. He could get his thoughts in order later. Din made himself keep walking until he'd left the palace entirely, until he'd passed the Nuxen who watched over the landing bay, until he'd found his own ship among the dozen or so battered sandy hulls that had come to fill the bay. The Kirik Fly was where Din had left her weeks ago, settled between Boba's Firespray-class ship and a sleek light hunter that Fennec took out on jobs sometimes, on the rare occasions that her own business took her away from the palace. Din dropped the Fly's plug door with a touch to his gauntlet and strode up the ramp, sealing it behind him as soon as he was through the door. The Fly wasn't home, not like the Razor Crest had been, but with the door sealed, it was safe enough that Din could lean back against the door and shudder for a minute, all of his nerves stretched thin. "I'm safe here," he told himself, trying to calm himself down. Din had the codes for the Fly's doors, not Boba, and while Mos Eisley had a few old anti-ship systems at the spaceports to bring down raiders and rogues, the palace didn't. Short of ordering Mos Eisley's spaceport to shoot Din out of the sky, or climbing into his own ship to give chase, Din supposed, Boba couldn't do anything to Din now that Din was in the Fly. "I'm not afraid of him," Din told himself sternly. He tossed his helmet into the Fly's co-pilot chair, and now that he was alone, gave in to the urge to drag his hand through his hair, pulling roughly. Everything had happened so quickly. Din hadn't even had the time to sort through all the things Koska had told him. What Kreese wanted Din for, what she wanted him to represent to all of the other Mandalorians. Before he and Boba had argued, and now that they had argued. The headache that had started to prod the back of Din's eye when he'd been bickering with Koska sharpened, like someone had taken a spike and driven it behind Din's ear. A twin pain throbbed in his chest, a fist tightened around his lungs, crushing the air from them, and Din had to fight to breathe. It was, Din thought, grief. Din was familiar with grief. Of course he was. It had followed him for his entire life, ever since the Separatists had come to his village. Grief for his parents, his cousins, for the life that the Separatists had destroyed during the Clone Wars. Grief for the Mandalorian who had rescued Din and then died on his next deployment before Din had gotten to know him at all. Grief for every covert they'd had to abandon, for the brothers and sisters who'd been lost, for the way the tribe had shrunk year after year, for the heap of empty helmets left on Nevarro. Grief for Grogu, too, when Din had to let him leave with the Jedi. Grief for the creed that Din had broken. So the feeling breaking open in Din's chest now was familiar to him. It was sharp and intense, and Din hadn't expected it. So he wasn't as prepared for it as he'd been in the days and weeks following his choice on Morak. But it was something that Din knew he could survive. He swallowed. "It's something I can survive," he reminded himself. His head throbbed and his heart twisted. His hands were shaking. "I can survive it. I can. I just have to." Din just had to weather it. He had weathered worse before. The backs of his legs were still stinging and sore, his welts and cuts bright, not yet healed. If he'd been able to endure that, he could endure this. It was just... Din gave himself a handful of minutes to feel it, to let grief swallow him up like a wave closing over his head, dragging him down. To be angry. And Din was angry. Not just at Casca, not just at Boba, though he was angry with Casca because she'd gone out of her way to antagonize Boba, to poke and prod him like a caged rancor just to see what Boba would do. And he was angry with Boba, too, for... Well, Din thought, I'm angry with him, but I'm mostly just angry with myself. He couldn't get the echo of Boba's voice out of his head, Boba's bleak, desolate tone. Din, he had said, I am not Mandalorian. Din didn't understand. Boba had to be Mandalorian. He had to be. Boba did everything that a Mandalorian warrior should do. He was everything that a Mandalorian warrior should be. And more than that, Boba acted with an Allure's honor, not just a Verd's. Boba was honest, hard and fierce sometimes, but he was fair, upright. He kept his word. He took care of his people. He fought like a crate dragon, and he took fastidious, reverent care of his father's armor, and Boba was the son of a foundling. He was Mandalorian. Except he's not, Din thought, opening his eyes again. He'd squeezed them shut to ward off his grief, but it hadn't worked. The fly resolved itself around him. Its walls were blank and impersonal. Din hadn't set foot on the ship in weeks, really. It hadn't even occurred to him to take it out. If he'd needed to go anywhere, he'd either taken a speeder or flown himself, savoring the rush of the wind against him as his jetpack carried him through the sky. The fly's comms array was blinking softly, a red light flickering on and off in steady rhythm. Kreese's messages, if Din had to guess. The rest of the ship was tidy enough, just impersonal. Din had flown the Razor Crest for so long that he hadn't been able to help slowly filling it up with things. Din didn't care much for decorations or trinkets, little objects that would just clutter up the space where he lived and worked. But over the years, he'd outfitted the Crest, customized her, made himself at home inside her hull. The fly looked pretty much the same as it had the day Din had first taken her off-planet, aimed for Boz Pity with a cabin full of escaping slaves. Boba's not Mandalorian, Din thought dully. Even though he acts like one, dresses like one, talks like one. Boba knew Mandoa, and Din didn't. Boba had been to Mandalore, even. He'd seen it before the Empire had turned it to a heap of ash. Din had thought... It doesn't matter what I thought, Din told himself ruthlessly. If he says he's not Mandalorian, then he isn't. It's his choice. Something in Din's chest prickled uncomfortably. He was starting to regret what he'd said to Boba now. I don't know you, he'd said. Boba wasn't Mandalorian. He never had been. If Boba was Darmanda, too, Din thought that he'd understand a little better. But from the way Boba talked, from the way Casca and Kreese had talked about Boba, Boba had never been Mandalorian at all. He never understood what I was, what I am, Din thought. Can you be Darmanda if you were never Mandalorian in the first place? Din wasn't sure. He'd never thought about it. It wasn't like he'd been Darmanda when he'd lived in that little village with his parents. Back then, Din had never even heard of the Mandalorians. He couldn't have been Darmanda then, because he couldn't have been a Mandalorian. He hadn't known what a Mandalorian was. But even setting all of that aside, Boba was right. He'd said that he'd never told Din that he was Mandalorian, and now that Din had taken the time to think it through, that was true. Boba had told Din on Tython that he followed no creed. Din had brushed it away at the time, because then Boba had gone on to show him the chain code embedded in his armor, the one that named him the son of Jango Fett, the son of a foundling. But if Boba never swore a creed at all, any creed, not just mine, then he's never been a Mandalorian. Right? Underneath Din's anger, underneath his grief, confusion roiled in his chest. His headache spiked. He swallowed. Din didn't know the answer. If Boba had never sworn any creed, then he wasn't Mandalorian at all. That was... Din would have believed that a year ago. He would have believed that before Morak. But now... Did Bo-Katan Kryze swear a creed? In the covert, there was only one way of the Mandalore. Din knew that like he knew how to breathe. He'd believed that just as fervently as Paz ever had, as Annika, as the Allur. A Mandalorian followed the way of the Mandalore. That was what made them Mandalorian in the first place. If they did not follow the way, then they weren't Mandalorian. The distinction was easy. But my creed, Kryze thinks it's too radical, Din thought. She thinks it's too extremist. A cult, she called us. So what does she believe? Din knew of the Rezzul Nare now, the six actions. He knew that many Mandalorians followed them, even if Boba hadn't been able to recite them all for Din. Is that what she follows? Somehow, Din wasn't sure that he believed that Kryze had a creed at all. She was too... He didn't know. It was not, he didn't think, that Kryze didn't have her honor. If she'd been honorless, she would have just killed Din and taken the Darksaber on the light cruiser. It would have been easy. Din had been in Bacta for days, vulnerable and unprotected. Killing him would have been a matter of a few seconds. But she didn't kill me. She hasn't even attacked me. She has a code, some kind of honor, some principle or way that she follows. But she'd been born Mandalorian. That was her claim, after all. She was the last scion of House Kryze. Her family had ruled Mandalore before. She could probably recite a dozen generations of Mandalorian ancestors, Mandalorian kin, if not more. But does she have a creed? Din dragged a hand down his face, thoughts whirling. If Kryze is Mandalorian because she comes from Mandalore, and I was Mandalorian because I followed the creed, what does that make Boba? Din knew the answer to that question. Fennec had answered it for him weeks ago. Jango Fett's son. That was all Boba had ever claimed to be. A simple man trying to make his way in the galaxy just like his father before him. But Boba had said that Jango had been a foundling. He'd been taken in by Jaster Muriel, a lord of the true Mandalorians. And he said that Jango'd become Darmanda, so Jango did break his creed, Din thought. He followed the Super Commando Codex, and then he stopped. After he killed Tor Vizsla, Jango stopped. And Boba had grown up alone, hadn't he? None of Jaster Muriel's people had come to take Boba in. No clan or tribe had pulled Boba into the fold. He had been alone after his father died. There had been no one left to teach Boba a creed or a way, and even though he'd apparently later gone to Mandalore, he hadn't stayed there. He hadn't fought his way into a tribe or a clan, not like Din had. Din's head hurt. All of this, it was almost too much to sort through, too confusing. Din wasn't a philosopher or a Jedi or even a clan elder who could spend his days minding the foundlings and sharing wisdom from his youth. Din didn't have any wisdom. He was just a hunter. That was all he was, all he'd ever wanted to be. I didn't want any of this to happen. The fist around his lungs tightened. Din, Din loved Boba. Still loved him, despite the confusion and the pain writhing around in his chest. Even if Boba didn't feel the same about Din, or hadn't felt the same because Din wasn't sure what Boba felt towards him now. He had been a good friend. He'd taken care of Din. Had helped Din more than anyone else had helped Din before. Din hadn't wanted to, hadn't meant to, ruin that. I just don't understand. His tongue was heavy in his mouth. His chest was too full, too hot and too dry, like someone had stuffed his lungs with ash. If Din had learned something like this about anyone else, he didn't think that he'd be so wounded, affected. But Din had... he had let Boba see everything. Din had let Boba see everything. He'd let Boba see all of Din's weaknesses, things Din had never shown anyone else, that he'd been too afraid to show anyone else. If Din had gone around the covert asking for someone to hurt him, to give him a few bruises or licks with a flogger to help Din focus, he would have lost his position as Baroya. Din had shown Boba his face, willingly, joyously even, because Din had thought... he wrenched his thoughts away again. I need some space. Din needed distance. He needed to think. Sealing himself inside the fly had helped some, but he was no closer to unraveling his thoughts, to sorting out the tangle of grief and anger snarled around his ribcage than he had been when he'd left Boba standing in front of the ruined table, and I don't want to be here. Din wanted... well, he wanted Boba, but that wasn't going to happen, not right now. Boba had a temper. Boba had been badly hurt. Din had seen that. It had started with Casca, who'd said something that had upset Boba, thrown him off balance. And then Din had gone and made it worse. Boba was wounded. Maybe if Din gave him space and time to staunch the bleeding, Boba would be willing to talk. To let Din explain. And he said, "Gev, he asked me to leave. I can do that. But where can I go?" Din certainly wasn't about to spend 3 days hanging around on Cronus, testing Kreese's patience. Casca had told him that the summit itself had been declared neutral. She'd said that once it began, no one would be harmed or killed. But before the summit... no, Din thought. He wasn't going to spend 3 days hiding in a ship waiting for someone from the light cruiser to storm it, and he wasn't going to spend 3 days glaring Verdun eyes at Casca on the light cruiser. He still wanted to punch her a little. But he couldn't exactly stay hunkered down on the fly in Boba's landing bay and wait for the summit, either. Din had wanted Boba to go, but if Boba wasn't Mandalorian at all, he probably wouldn't want to attend. He wouldn't be welcome, even if he did attend, and Din wasn't sure if Kreese's offer of neutral ground extended to those who weren't Mandalorian. "Tatooine is Boba's," Din thought. "And he told me to leave. To go join other Mandalorians," and... a thought occurred to Din, clear and bright, cutting through his tangle of thoughts like the edge of the Darksaber slicing through Durasteel. There were other Mandalorians on Tatooine. Mandalorians who weren't part of Boba's outfit, though they were currently enjoying Boba's protection, and Mandalorians who Din had hoped would be willing to go to Kreese's summit themselves. Paz, Drill, and Jag were in Mos Pelgo. Boba didn't run Mos Pelgo. He ran weapons and spice and other smuggled goods through it, but Mos Pelgo belonged only to its own people. It wasn't the palace, and Paz was there. And Paz knows I'm Dermanda already. Din and Paz had sorted themselves out. They didn't have much left to argue over, and Paz had agreed to let Din be. Din would be... bizarre as it might have sounded to him a few months ago when he'd been sure that running into Paz again would be a death sentence. Safe, there, for a day or two. Mos Pelgo sounded better than staying near the palace, at any rate. Din could probably find someone in the quarter. Imiri, maybe, or someone from Nora's extended family, who'd take him in if he asked, if he needed somewhere to lay low. But Din didn't want to bring the quarter any more trouble. Mos Pelgo, on the other hand. They're a tough sort, he thought. And they're always expecting trouble. Din peeled himself away from the plug door and made himself punch in the town's coordinates before he could talk himself out of it. Despite sitting idle for a few weeks, the fly rose smoothly into the air. The familiar task of keeping a ship in the air settled Din some, and by the time he reached the canyons that backed Mos Pelgo a few minutes later, Din had managed to calm himself down considerably. His head still hurt and his chest was sore, but he'd brought his heart rate down, had deliberately slowed and evened out his breathing. There was no room for doubt or confusion when piloting a ship, so for a handful of minutes, Din was able to set all of his doubts aside, all of his hurt. The brief respite was welcome. Din circled the town a few times, high up in the clear night sky. While Din and Koska, and then Din and Boba, had fought, night had fallen over Tatooine. The moons were high in the sky, following one after another, and all of the stars were out and glittering coldly in the black. Mos Pelgo was quiet and still beneath him. Din made sure to fly low enough that Mos Pelgo's scouts could recognize his ship, then landed up on a flat plateau above the canyons like he had before, still unwilling to risk losing the fly in the sands. When he'd finished securing the ship and stepped down the fly's plug door, a gust of wind hit him, sweet and cold, and made Din put his helmet back on the co-pilot's chair. He'd intended to put it on before going down into the town, but the wind was so clarifying that he changed his mind. Paz and the Verdike can deal with it, Din thought. They'd all seen him without his helmet on already. So had Cobb Vanth and a fair bit of Mos Pelgo. Din had nothing to hide from them, not anymore. He made his way to the edge of the plateau and looked out across the desert. The sands were silver and quiet for once. Din didn't even see any bantha herds grazing in the distance or any Anuba packs on the move. Mos Pelgo was asleep, or mostly asleep, as Din's eye caught the glint of the moons off a rifle scope down on one of the roofs. And the desert had gone to sleep with it. It was peaceful. Quiet. Din took another steadying breath, looking up at the stars. Din preferred to see the stars through the slightly warped viewports of a starship. He always had. Din had spent most of his time in the black, after all, and the solitude of deep space had often been its own kind of armor. The view from the clifftops of Mos Pelgo wasn't bad, though. The sky was clear and the stars shone like freshly polished Beskar, winking and glittering in the distance. If Din half-closed his eyes, it was almost like looking up at the stars through a viewport or from underwater, the edges of the night sky going soft and blurred. Din studied the stars for a while, letting the breeze and the view further ground him back in his own body. His armor had loosened since he'd left the palace. He didn't feel quite as much like a crate dragon that had stepped into a Durasteel trap. It was easy to feel above it all up here, to feel distant from all that had just happened in the palace. Din curled his hands into fists and then loosened them a few times, using the tension and its release to steady himself. Doing that made his bad arm hurt, pain throbbing dully through his wrist up to his elbow. But Din was used to it, and the hurt was steadying anyway. He didn't let himself think about Boba. He might have stayed up there for the rest of the night, watching the suns rise over the canyon, but after several minutes of standing up on the plateau alone, someone from down below called up to Din and caught his attention.
"Mando?"
a familiar voice called, echoing off the sandstone cliffs.
"That you?"
Din leaned out over the lip of the canyon and looked down at Cobb Vanth, who was standing at the bottom of the plateau, some 100 or 120 feet down, with his hands on his hips. In the silver light of the moon, Din could see that Vanth was only half-dressed. He had pants and his usual holy red sweater on, the fabric draped loose over his narrow shoulders, but he was missing his red bandana and had only one blaster tucked into a belt he'd slung across his hips. He didn't have his gloves on, either, and the MK2 Paladin rifle he'd been so fond of the last time Dan had visited was nowhere to be seen. Vanth's hair usually swept back out of his eyes so that Vanth could squint at everything underneath Tatooine's bright suns, was sticking up in every direction. He was asleep, Din realized. Someone, one of the guards, must have seen me land and gone to wake Vanth up. Guilt, sleep was hard to come by on Tatooine some nights, made Din call back.
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, said Vanth. He squinted up at Din.
What are you doing up there?
Din almost wanted to take a step back and retreat into the safety of the Kerrick Fly. He wanted to sit at the edge of the canyon and look up at the moons for a while longer, feeling sorry for himself. But none of this was Vanth's fault, and Din knew Vanth well enough now to know that Vanth was a stubborn old Vornsker. Now that he'd hauled himself up out of bed to come looking for Din in the dark, he wouldn't just go back off on his own way. So Din sighed, shook out his hands to make sure that they were steady, and dropped down to where Vanth stood on the sandstones of the canyon floor, using his jetpack to slow his descent enough that Din hit the ground and only rattled his knees instead of breaking them. That pain was good, too. Din savored it for half a second, then pushed it aside. Vanth wasn't likely to understand that, and Din wasn't sure if Boba would ever understand it again. Vanth arched an eyebrow and looked Din up and down, then set his hands on his hips. He was not, apparently, impressed with what he saw. "Rough night, huh?" he asked. Din shrugged. He was sure that Vanth could read the truth of Din's night across his face. Vanth studied him for another minute more, then nodded. "We deal with that a lot around here," he said. "What's the news from civilization?" Even though he was exhausted and sore, angry and upset, his head still throbbing in time with his heart, Din couldn't help but smile a little. Only someone like Cobb Vanth would call Mos Eisley, call the palace, civilization. "We're not about to be run over or nothing, are we?" Vanth continued. Din shook his head. "No," he said. "You're fine. I have no news." Vanth eyed Din doubtfully. Din understood Vanth's wariness, he supposed. It was late. No one crossed the Great Dune Sea at this hour unless they had to, and Din probably looked like he'd been run over by Aronto. Like he'd been through something awful, like the palace had been attacked again, and had come to warn Mos Pelgo that Gorga's mercenaries were coming their way. "Everything's fine," Din said. "In the desert and the palace, anyway. No one's under attack. You're not about to be run over by bounty hunters or mercenaries or anything." "Oh," said Vanth, finally relaxing, apparently deciding to take Din at his word. "Well, good. It's too damn late, or too damn early, I guess, to fend off any mercs or smuggler bands." "Do you get a lot of those?" Din asked, frowning. Even though he was trying not to think about Boba, Din couldn't help it. Boba had gone into the sands just that afternoon to talk to Shaking Mountain scouts who'd seen smuggling bands moving around in the desert. But Vanth waved Din's concern away. "Not so close to town, usually," he said. "Fett's guards are good at catching them before they get too close." The reference to Boba, sideways and fleeting as it was, made Din wince a little. Vanth, sharp even despite the hour, caught it and frowned. "Mando," he said, even though he knew Din's name by now. "What's going on? If there's no raid on the way and no news, what's got you out here in the desert at the Anubis Hour?" Cobb Vanth didn't need to know that Din's life on Tatooine, his understanding of his place in it and who he'd been sharing it with, had imploded. Beyond the fact that it wasn't any of Vanth's business, it also wasn't something that Vanth could really help with, either. He wasn't Mandalorian. He wouldn't be able to help Din understand what had happened. Why Boba wasn't Mandalorian, despite the armor he wore and the way he acted and the honor he carried himself with. Din cleared his throat and tried to school his face into what he hoped was a reassuring expression. "It's nothing that Mos Pelgo needs to worry about," Din said. Even though he was down in the bottom of a canyon and the palace was half a day's ride by speeder away, he looked off in the direction of the palace anyway. Vanth's expression cleared. "Mando business," he guessed shrewdly. Din had come to talk to Paz, so he nodded. Vanth relaxed completely. Oh, he said. That's fine, then. Why didn't you start with that? It's late, Din offered. It was, and Din knew that he wasn't acting like himself. He just hoped that Vanth would buy that it was the late hour that was dragging it in, not anything worse. That it is, Vanth agreed. He eyed Din again, but didn't put his hackles back up. It's probably not so late that Vizsla or the kids asleep, though. They keep strange hours, your people. Din didn't know if the kid was Strill or Zhaig, but he smiled faintly anyway. They're not keeping strange hours, he said. They're keeping watch. Vanth snorted. He gestured down the canyon towards Mos Pelgo, and Din obediently fell into step beside him. They know they don't have to keep watch, right? Vanth said. I've got more eyes watching the desert now than a bladeback's got sand fleas. Mos Pelgo's never been safer. Din was pleased to hear that, even though Vanth sounded sour about it. Good, he said. Din still felt not responsible for Mos Pelgo's safety, not exactly, but since he'd been the one to bring Boba's deal to the town, Din did like making sure that Boba's end of the deal was being held up. If only one of them is keeping watch at a time, Din explained, circling back to Paz and the Verdike, that means they do feel safe. If they didn't, it'd be two on per shift, and they'd trade off who'd get to sleep. Din had walked these canyons with Vanth before. The steps back towards Mos Pelgo were familiar. Din tried to let that settle him, pushing his pain aside. Vanth grunted. I'd hope so, he muttered. Even your kids got more knives on them than a Tusken does. I'd hate to see how they'd act if they felt unsafe. I doubt that, Din thought, suppressing another smile. Din didn't know if the Sun Rock had told Vanth about the Nisisika, the crate-boned women's knives that all the Tusken women carried, or Tusken's children's habit of fashioning knives out of any loose bits of material that they could find, or even the Tusken's firm belief that every knife should only be used for its own purpose and no other. Tuskens had rope-cutting knives and carving knives. They had warriors' knives and knives for digging up Kirik fly nests. Mandalorians always carried a Verd knife or two, maybe more depending on their personal fighting style. But no one carried more knives than a Tusken. If Vanth hasn't figured that out already, though, I don't need to tell him, Din thought. I don't want to make him wary of his neighbors, especially not if Mos Pelgo and the Sun Rock are still getting along. We like to be prepared, Din said placidly. For what? Vanth retorted, though his tone was light and teasing. The ground and the rocks themselves to pull a blaster on you? Stranger things have happened on Tatooine, Din said, unable to hide his smile now. The pressure in his chest lessened. The fist squeezing his lungs loosened its grip. Vanth seemed to notice, too, because he only rolled his eyes. Are they... Din felt compelled to ask. Are they doing all right, Paz and the rest? Din hadn't seen Paz and the others since they'd fought right after Gorga's raid. When Din and Fennec had gone into Mos Eisley after Jassa, Kasik had taken the Mandalorians to Mos Pelgo. They'd been gone by the time Din had made it back. Paz is the big one with the blue armor, yeah? Said Vanth. Vizsla? Din nodded. He was surprised that Paz had told Vanth his name. Paz usually guarded it zealously from outsiders. But maybe he hadn't. Maybe Kasik had told Vanth when he'd brought Paz and the others here. Yeah, they've grown okay, Vanth said. Even Vizsla, though he's got a crate's temper on him. Those kids of his are more than all right, though. We like them. Hard-working little things and pretty clever, too. And the other two were useful enough. Duan, Aten, and Bassa are particularly taken with Zhaig. Din didn't know Bassa, but Duan and Aten were scouts for the Sun Rock. They had introduced themselves to Din before. Young Tuskens and young Mandalorians, Din said, thinking of how well he'd gotten along with some of the White Bantha scouts. Ustak and Asaf in particular, though Ahaza had always tagged along too, after he'd healed enough to join them on patrols and crate hunts. Aren't that different? Vanth snorted. No, he said. I figured that one out when the four of them got into a, what'd you call it, Aza something, I think it was, last week. Azagad, said Din, understanding. Of course they held an Azagad. They probably wanted to show off for each other. That's the one where they whack each other with sticks until somebody falls out of the ring? Din nodded. It is, he said. Then, yeah, said Vanth, still sounding vaguely disgruntled. That's what they were up to. Had half the town up in arms with them, though who we were going to back if it had turned out that Zhaig and the Tusken boys were out for blood instead of bragging rights is anyone's guess. That made Din lift an eyebrow. A settler town, he said, trying to keep his tone light. His chest was still heavy, all of his thoughts out of balance, so Din wasn't sure if he managed to sound teasing or not, but he pushed ahead anyway, ready to rush to the defense of some Tuskens. We like these Tuskens, said Vanth, scowling. They've done right by us, and they're not so bad, not really. Their opinion of what's edible or not, notwithstanding. Din softened. Good, he said. He meant it. Din knew that he was biased in favor of the Tuskra anyway. The desert was theirs and always had been. But he did like the people of Muspalgo. Vanth and his folk weren't here to strip the desert of its resources, its water, its wildlife. They didn't want to farm all of the moisture out of the air and then pack up and leave everything dead and withered behind them. Tatooine, Muspalgo, was their home, too. It's good that Vanth's folk and the Sunrock are still getting along, Din thought. If an alliance between a Tusken tribe and a settler town had lasted this long, almost a year now, then Din hoped it would continue to last in the future. They're not causing you any trouble, are they? Din asked, a thought occurring to him. He still didn't know Strill and Zhaig very well, but Strill at least had proved to be sensible. She reminded Din of Annika. But pause. The Mandalorians, I mean, Din continued when Vanth looked at him sideways. I know Vizsla can be difficult. Difficult ain't the word I'd use, Vanth muttered, but he shrugged. They're no trouble, no, he said. Not really. Vizsla ain't exactly polite, but then he's still stomping around on that busted leg of his, so I can't imagine he's feeling too friendly, even at the best of times. He does his work without complaining, though, and that's more than I can say for some of the other guests we've had come through town. Work? Din asked, cocking his head. Vanth waved a hand. Yeah, he said. You know, mended mostly for Vizsla, but the others have been pitching in where they can. Even the kids. Your people don't like sitting idle. I do feel bad about that. Vizsla weren't too friendly when he first arrived, so I lost my temper with him a bit and sent him off to do the washing with Skitter and Elena. I only meant for him to get out of my way for a day, but he and the rest of them took it to heart and have been working around town ever since. No, said Din slowly, still confused. We don't... None of us really like setting around. That was true even in the covert. Foundlings to Kieran and Myrda's ages would have had chores and lessons to do before they'd be turned loose in the covert to explore and to play. Adult warriors spent their days mending kutas and patching armor, finding and preparing food, checking weapons, fixing ships. No one was idle for long. When Kasik dropped him off in my lap, I was kind of worried about feeding them all, Vanth continued. Especially at Zhaig and Vizsla's sizes. What do you feed baby Mandalorians to make them grow that big? As he and Din made their way back towards town, Vanth brightened and woke up a little more. He was animated while he talked, waving his hands, sweeping his hair out of his eyes. But you're Strill, she's a decent hunter, Vanth said. She went out that first day and came back with a brace of Ruba hares, and she's managed to do the same thing just about every day since she's got here. Even the kids are good at turning up black melons and things. That's what foundlings do, Din said. He'd never dug up black melons for his covert because they hadn't been with him on Tatooine, but he had always fished or foraged for fruits and vegetables, had always set traps and snares, hunted small game, scrounged up what he could and brought it back to add to the covert's little storerooms wherever they'd lived. It had made Din, and probably made Kieran, Took, and Myrda, feel useful. Well, if you want to take on some of our kids and teach them how to do the same, nobody here'd complain, Vanth said, his eyes crinkling at their corners. Though Vizsla's kids are already turning ours into quite the little pack of marauders. Din chuckled. The sound hurt, scraped raw against the back of his throat, but he made it anyway. That sounds about right, he said. A strange pang went through him, an echo of his earlier grief. He hadn't spent much time with the foundlings of his own tribe after Dan had been named Baraya and turned loose into the Bounty Hunters Guild. He just hadn't had the time. He couldn't remember the last season he'd been able to spend more than a few days among the covert between jobs. There had just been too many mouths to feed for Din to stay with the tribe for more than a few days at a time. Most of the credits he'd brought in would only last for a week or two, between food for the tribe and fuel for the Razor Crest, medical supplies and weapons, ship repairs, bribes to local marshals or lawkeepers to ignore the den of Mandalorians underneath their feet. No one had ever made Din pack up and hit the block again a day or two after he'd finished one run or another, but Din had still made himself leave. He'd hated to see the covert going hungry, and he'd taken pride in feeding them all. But as a result, Din just hadn't been around much. He hadn't taught any of Paz's kids how to throw their first punch or how to hold a Verd knife. He hadn't known what they'd like to eat or even where they'd come from. All Din had been able to do for them was feed them, armor them when he could. Another stab of grief made Din's stomach lurch. It wasn't the same grief that had seized him in the palace, looking at Boba and realizing that Din hadn't known him, hadn't understood him, hadn't been understood. But it cut Din just as deeply. "How many people in my own tribe," Din thought, "did I even really know? How many of them knew me?" He had known Paz and Annika, of course. He had always known Paz and Annika, because they'd been by Din's side from the day he'd been dropped gently into the covert's pack of orphans until he'd become Baraya and ventured out on his own. He'd known a few others his age, too, since they'd all come up together. And he'd known some of the others from a cohort of foundlings just a little older or a little younger than Din's, but a lot of my cohort, they're all gone now, Din thought. He didn't know who had survived the attack on Navarro, besides Paz, his kids, and the Alor. Annika, she might be dead, and any foundlings she tried to save dead with her. Den and Tosho, Rina, Wiran, all of them would have fought until they couldn't fight, until the Empire had killed them. And Din. I was alone, he realized. Even before I found Grogu and left, before I broke the creed, I was alone. He had had to be alone. Bounty hunting wasn't safe. The risk of bringing a brother or sister along, a foundling, had been too great. Din had expected eventually to take on an apprentice in 5 or 10 years, and very rarely he had taken another warrior with him on a bigger job, or he'd banded up with other bounty hunters and worked as part of a crew. But usually it had just been Din alone on the crest, drifting through the stars far away from the covert. Din had always ignored his loneliness. It hadn't mattered. What had mattered was providing for the tribe. He'd made sure that his brothers and sisters were fed, that they were safe, that the foundlings, war orphans just like Din, had had the best guard they'd needed to properly join the tribe. Everyone had been cared for as best as Din had been able to care for them, and that had been... it had been enough. But I didn't know them, either. Just like Din, apparently, hadn't known Boba. No, Din thought, that fist of grief squeezing his lungs again. He was bruised and sore all over. It hurt to breathe. That's not true. I did know him. I do. It's just... Mando, said Vanth. His expression thoughtful again, his sharp Vornsker eyes seeing too much. Din should have taken his helmet from the Kirik fly before he'd come down into the canyon. He was gonna need it. You want a drink or something? Few minutes of shut-eye, maybe, before you go and handle your Mando business with your people? They're not my people, Din thought. I don't have any people. That was a self-pitying thought, weak and low, and Din knew it. He could almost hear Nora's shout of disagreement, Ushib's disagreement, Fennec's, Gita's. The White Bantha had counted Din as one of their own and would probably do so again. The Sun Rock would take Din. The Spotted Anuba, too. Kirk Mespelga would probably have me, Din thought. If he asked. If he asked. He could step in and serve as marshal alongside Vanth, or he could hunt, tend to a Bantha herd. Din could even shed his armor entirely, bury it in the sand, and learn to grow polta beans. That thought, that certainty, more than anything else, made Din offer a strained, tired smile. "I don't need a drink," he said. He didn't want to add spotchka to his already sore head. "Thanks, though." "Suit yourself," Vance said, giving way easily enough. He paused, then said, "What about a friendly ear?" Din paused, too. The offer was oddly tempting. Din had never needed a friendly ear before, had kept to himself in the guild or as part of a crew, but over the last few months he had gotten used to having plenty of friendly ears, sympathetic listeners around. He still wanted to resist the offer instinctively, to pull back into himself. He'd learned a lesson with Boba, hadn't he? Din had been too open, too vulnerable, and Boba had been able to wound him too deeply. If Din had just kept to himself... "Come on," said Vanth, offering Din a quick, flashing grin. "I don't know Kark all about Mando business, that's true, but now that I'm up, I'm not likely to go back to sleep. If you got something you want to get off your shoulders, whatever's giving you that look in your eye, I'm happy to listen." The confirmation that Din had dragged Vanth out of bed made Din wince. "Sorry," he said. Vanth only shrugged. "It's all right," he said, grinning again. "I don't mind. And if you don't want to talk either, you're always welcome to use my house while you're gathering your thoughts. It's quiet enough there if you ignore the vaporator. Unless your Mando business is urgent and you've got to talk to Vizsla now." They were near the end of the canyon, so Din tilted his head back and checked the position of the moons. It was still the middle of the night. The Anuba's hour, Vanth had called it. Even if Paz or one of the Verdike was on watch, the others would be asleep. Din didn't need to wake them up. He could wait until morning. The summit wasn't coming up on them any faster than it had been for a month now. And, Din thought to himself, a few hours to think might help me figure out what to say. Din was far enough away from the palace now that he could admit to himself that he shouldn't have pressed Boba so intently. Not after Din had seen how unbalanced Boba had been by Koska Reeves and the things she'd said. Din had... "I reacted," Din thought. "And I reacted badly." He'd been surprised, that was all. Surprised and hurt. He was still hurt, he was still angry, but I've never liked being pushed into a corner either, Din admitted to himself. That was part of the reason he himself had reacted so poorly to Koska's revelation. She had backed him into a corner, into a Durasteel trap, and he had lashed out at her and Boba both. And Boba was... he was cornered too, Din thought. In a day or two, Din knew that he would understand Boba's position, his anger, his cold, flat denial of being Mandalorian, a little better. Even now, Din could understand what had happened. Boba had been cornered, and like any cornered Mandalorian, Boba had lashed out. Except he's not Mandalorian. Din's headache sharpened. If there's room for me at your place, Din said, as they left the canyon and made their way down Mespelga's tidy main street. It wasn't the only street, not anymore. It looked like several new white wattle houses had been added behind the town's original two rows. It'd be good to gather my thoughts a little. Din didn't want to go see Paz like this. Paz did know Din too well, and he'd likely be able to figure out that Din and Boba had argued. While Din's life wasn't any of Paz's business, not anymore, Boba and Paz had fought too. Din wouldn't put it past Paz to decide that he wanted to go after Boba again if he learned that Boba had wounded his former brother. the last thing anyone at the palace needs, Din thought to himself, remembering Nura's nervousness in the days following Gorga's raid, is another incident with the plasma thrower. Vanth obligingly turned off the main street and made for his own house, set as it was close to the canyons, apart from the others. Din followed Vanth through the door, down into the courtyard, and paused before he followed Vanth into the house. Vanth paused, too. Din had first shown his face to Vanth in this very courtyard. He hadn't been able to sleep that night, upset as he'd been by losing Paz and the others in Macentha, and he'd come outside to look up at the stars for a while. That was how Vanth had found him. Vanth must have been remembering that night, too, because he looked at Din, eyebrows raised, and said, "You sure you don't want that friendly ear, Mando?" Din hesitated again, and this time he knew that his hesitation had given him away. He did want a friendly ear. He wanted... Well, Din thought, I want more than I should. That's the problem, isn't it? "You don't have to. I'm fine," Din said. Vanth's eyebrows climbed higher. "Now, maybe it's just because I'm used to seeing you in your shiny helmet," he said. "But you don't look fine, Aki." The word was unfamiliar, but the look on Vanth's face wasn't. He thought that Din was being stupid. Frustration flickered in Din's belly, but it was gone before Din could grab a hold of it, use it. Frustration was better than blank grief, better than formless anger. But the emotion didn't last. His frustration flared against the look in Vanth's face, but then it drained away like adrenaline after a fight, leaving Din tired and scraped raw. "It's Mando business," Din said hoarsely. Vanth seemed to understand because he nodded again. "I don't need specifics if you don't want to give them," he said. "Or can't give them, I guess. Your people are kind of secretive, aren't you? But I don't know, Mando, the look you've got in your eye. Sometimes the only thing to do for a wound is to cut it deeper, yeah? Cut the poison out?" That sounded like something a Mandalorian medic might say. "I'm not wounded," said Din. "Like Kark, you ain't wounded," Vanth said flatly. "I can see it in your face, Mando. You look like you just took a blaster bolt to the gut and are expecting to die slow." Din wavered again, and Vanth saw it, because he gestured to the edge of his vaporator, where he'd found Din sitting and looking up at the stars the last time Din had spent the night in Mespelgo. Kark, Din thought, but there was no heat to it. In fact, his belly had been flooded with cool relief. Vanth was good for his word. He wouldn't need specifics. He'd be able to tell that Din was keeping some things back. Despite the fact that they'd fought, Din wasn't about to betray Boba's secrets, any of them, to anyone. But he wouldn't push. Vanth kept plenty of secrets of his own. And he'll listen, at least. It wasn't like Vanth would be able to help. He wasn't Mandalorian, either. He couldn't understand what Din had done, who Din was. The difference between Mandalorian and Armanda. But, Din thought, remembering his first trip with Vanth into the canyons when he told Vanth that he was Darmanda because Vanth had told him something, too. He said that he was Dalahra, a slave who had forgotten that he should be free. Din had never been a slave, so he couldn't understand what being Dalahra was like any more than Vanth could understand what it was to be Darmanda, but it's close enough, Din thought. Maybe. It's something, at least. Din had gotten out of the habit of feeling alone. 6 months ago, he could have absorbed Boba's revelation. He could have absorbed Boba's rejection, too. It wouldn't have mattered to Din. But now... Din tiredly perched himself on the edge of the vaporator and looked up at the night sky again. He felt Vanth settle down beside him and do the same thing, leaning back on his elbows to look up at the stars. Vanth didn't push, which Din was grateful for. It took Din a few minutes to gather his thoughts, to figure out where to start. It wasn't like Din could start from the beginning. The problem was that Din had had that he still loved Boba. Boba was... Din had thought that Boba was the one person in the galaxy who knew him, who knew all of him. Paz knew Din well, Annika too, some of Din's other friends, his allies, knew him as their friend and ally. But Boba had known Din as Din, wholly and completely. He'd seen Din angry and Din afraid, Din in pain, Din desperate for more pain. He'd seen Din cry and Din come and Din beg for Boba to stop or to keep going. Boba had seen all of that and he hadn't looked away. But he can't understand all of it, Din thought. And I thought that he could. I thought that he did. None of that was Boba's fault. Din had made the assumption that Boba was Mandalorian, not Boba himself. Din had just never bothered to ask him. "What do you do?" Din began, choosing his words carefully, trying to figure out where to start. With the Dalahra. The beginning, Din supposed, was as good a place to start as any other. He couldn't talk about any of the rest of it without talking about the start of the problem first. Din was Darmanda, and he'd been so desperate for a tribe again that he'd assumed that the first person who had shown him kindness since breaking the creed would be looking for the same. Vanth went very still. "You remember that, do you?" he asked. Din nodded. I'm good with languages, he said, half apologetic. He knew that this probably wasn't easy for Vanth to talk about either. Like talking about being Darmanda with an outsider, Din thought, even though that was what he was trying to do, in a sideways sort of way. Vanth, for his part, made a thoughtful noise. "What do you mean?" he said slowly. "What are you asking? Are you asking if we... what... kill him?" "Like Paz tried, or thought that he should try, to kill me. It was the duty of the tribe to make sure that the Darmande weren't a threat to their former brothers and sisters. Strill had told Dan about the warrior from her covert who'd been killed after she'd broken her creed because she'd gone mad with it, because she had started walking the way of the Wurak. Tallow, Din thought. That was her name. Her name was Tallow, and she lost her helmet in a cantina fight, and her allure killed her for it. Some Mandalorians do, Din said. He kept looking up at the stars. The seasons were turning. The rains would come soon. Din could see the shape of the Rainfather in the sky, a dense cluster of stars the Tusken said looked like a great chieftain with his arms extended, wearing a thunderstorm for his robe, streaks of rain falling from his welcoming hands. That constellation only rose over the Great Dune Sea when the rains were on their way. They, Din corrected himself. Kill the ones who break the creed, I mean. The Darmanda. He managed to keep his voice steady while he said it. He tried to comfort himself with the familiar shapes and the stars. The Anuba pack was almost gone, only the Hindrunners still visible in the far south. The warrior's knife had shifted too, beginning its transformation into the Cedru tree, and Umar, the emerald, had already vanished. The rest of the stars were shapeless, scattered randomly across the black. Any Mandalorian constellations that Din might have recognized were strangers in the sky. Vanth had gone quiet again. Din risked a look at his face and found it tight with anger. Boba had been angry too, Din thought. When Din had told Boba that Paz or someone else from his covert might try to kill him, Boba had been angry, furious on Din's behalf. But if he's not Mandalorian, why did he care? If Boba wasn't Mandalorian, why had what Din's tribe did with its creedbreakers bothered him? Boba talked of the Rezzlnare like the Rezzlnare was gentler, like it allowed for mistakes. Like Boba followed that way and thought following a harsher way, a way with no give, no mercy, was too cruel to even think about. But Boba doesn't have a creed. It's not always safe, Din made himself say, his voice strange to his own ears. To let someone who knows the covert, the tribe, who knows where the foundlings sleep and when the night watch switches out, to let someone like that live. Not if they have no honor, if they can't be trusted. Vanth stayed silent for a little while longer. Then he said, his own voice calm, "Who tried to kill you, Mando?" Din screwed his eyes shut for a moment. "Please don't call me that," he said. He heard, felt Vanth soften. "Din," said Vanth, "who tried to kill you?" He'd seen through Din's question about the Dalaha. Din's mouth twisted. "No one yet," he said, which was technically true. Paz hadn't been trying to kill Din. Trying to hurt him, yes, but if he'd been trying to kill Din, he wouldn't have just kicked Din in the balls. Vanth's spike of alarm was so bright and so strong that Din could almost taste it in the air, like hot metal or burning wood. "Is something going to try to kill you soon?" he asked sharply. "For being Dermanda," Din said. It was an important distinction to make, he thought. Gorga was trying to kill Din, too, after all. Or at least Gorga was trying to get him out of Boba's outfit, off of Tatooine, out of the way. But that was because of what Din was doing, not because of who Din was. "Yeah, probably." "Not Vizsla," Vanth said. "Or his kids?" "No," Din allowed. We're all settled. Paz is... We were brothers. That still means something to him. To me, too. But there's going to be a summit, I guess you can call it, a gathering, and some of the Mandalorians there." Din broke off and shook his head. "I don't know if they'll try to kill me or not," he said. "There's a leader among our people, and she has a lot to gain by killing me. More than she has to gain by keeping me alive, I think, now that she knows I'm Dermanda." "She didn't before?" Din shook his head. Said Vanth. He fell silent again. Din appreciated that about him. Cobb Vanth wasn't the sort of man who offered empty platitudes just because he thought it would make Din feel better. Din wasn't going to feel better. This was just something that he had to get through. Like an infected wound that had to be cut away, or a half-healed bone that needed to be rebroken and set properly. "We," said Vanth slowly, after another handful of seconds of silence, "don't... It ain't quite as, I don't know, formal for us, the Ahra, I mean. It ain't like we're just one people, you know?" Din did know. He knew that better now than Vanth had guessed. Din had always thought that all Mandalorians were one people, his people, but Din had been wrong. Kryze was as different from Din's Alor as night was from day. The true Mandalorians and Death Watch had been bitter enemies. According to Boba, there had once been an entire group of Mandalorians who hadn't believed in anything that Din's creed believed. They hadn't fought to protect their clan, they hadn't believed in wearing armor, in blood and sweat and glory, in hunting for their covert and raising foundlings. They hadn't done any of those things. All of which were, to Din, what made a Mandalorian Mandalorian. But they still called themselves Mandalorian. It made sense that the Ahra, many of whom had come from other planets, who'd been born in chains or who'd been put there as adults, who'd been stolen from their homes or sold off to pay a debt, or had even sold themselves, seeking the chain as a way to escape something worse, weren't all one unified people. "It's hard to describe," Vanth continued, still speaking slowly. Din let him take his time. "For some of us, Some of us never stopped fighting, he said. And some of us did. I did. I was. For a long time, I thought it was better for me to keep my head down, to write it out, you know. I didn't care what happened to anyone else. He was Dalahra, Din thought. Vanth had told him that. But when I finally did come to my senses and got out, when I started my turn as a fly, started to help my people. I don't know, there were some who didn't trust me. A couple of them even kicked the Bantha shit out of me, actually. I deserved it, Vanth added, when Din finally looked away from the stars and looked at Vanth instead. There were all sorts of things I did back on the chain that I wish I could take back now. I sold out a few people, tore apart some families. A haunted note had entered Vanth's voice. Din let him keep speaking. I couldn't. For years, Vanth said softly. I was sure that I deserved to die. When I realized, really realized, what I'd done, all to make myself more comfortable at the cost of someone else's freedom, someone else's pain, I let more than a few folks in the network take a swing at me when I started doing my fly's work. But it weren't like there were a council or something who'd wanted to put me to death, Vanth continued. He cleared his throat and shook his head, scattering whatever memories he'd been lost in. There were some who hated me, and I understood that, still do. But for us, I don't know. I can hate the Dalahra, I can wish they'd wake up one day like I did, choking on all the flesh and blood they'd helped sell off to save their own hides. But if one of them came to me and wanted to get free, I'd still help them. Even though they're your enemy, Din couldn't help but ask. Vanth looked at him again, surprised. My enemy? He asked. Din shrugged. Yeah, he said. If you're part of the Ahra and they're Dalahra, then... Din, Vanth said, his eyes very dark and very serious. The Dalahra aren't my enemy. Din frowned. That didn't make any sense. But nothing, Vanth said. They're my people too, Din. Some of them need a good punch in the nose, like I did, but it's not... I'm not gonna kill some poor son of a scug who's just trying to survive, not unless I have to. It ain't the Dalahra's fault. It's the Master's fault. Din stared at Vanth like Vanth had punched Din in the nose instead. Vanth blew out a noisy breath. His expression was tight with frustration. Not at Din didn't think, but maybe frustration at the question, the situation. There are, he said, a lot of slaves on Tatooine. Din nodded. He knew that. A lot of masters, too, Vanth said. And the masters, the Salastra, they've got more ways of keeping us ground down under their heels than the desert's got grains of sand. It's like, I don't know. There are some Dalahra out there who don't realize it ain't right to be. Who've bought in so deep that they don't care anymore, not even deep down. Here, Vanth pressed a hand to his chest above his heart. That what they're doing, that helping the masters, is wrong. Vanth's expression darkened. Din just listened. It sounded like there was more of a difference between being Dalahra and Dharmanda than Din had originally thought, but also not as much of a difference either, he thought. Din thought that he understood what Vanth was trying to say, that being Dalahra was a choice like being Dharmanda had been for Din, but that sometimes the choice was a terrible one. And there are some of us out there, Vanth continued quietly, who think that if they help the masters out enough, that one day they'll be the masters too. It happens. Not very often, but it does. And those Dalahra, they are dangerous. But I still wouldn't kill them unless I had to. And for most of the rest, I don't know, Din. It's hard to hate him when you've been him, you know? Slowly, Din nodded again. Besides, Vanth continued, more to himself now, there's usually a reason one slave turns their back on another. Like I said, the masters have got more ways to keep their slaves in chains than Tatooine's got sand. For every coward like me who was just looking to make their own life a little more comfortable, there were 10 who were doing what their masters told them to try and protect someone else. You know how hard it is to try and convince a father to run to freedom away from his child, a sister away from her brother? I can imagine, Din said, thinking of Geeta's friend Ruli. Geeta had said that she'd tried to convince Ruli to leave Tatooine with her once, but that Ruli'd refused to leave because the rest of her family lived in Mos Eisley. She hadn't wanted to leave them. The masters will promise all kinds of things, Vanth said darkly. For some, it's the promise of pain that turns them against each other, turns them to Lara. And for others, it's the promise of mercy. What was it for you? Din asked before he could stop himself. He wished that he could take it back immediately. It wasn't any of Din's business. This was obviously a painful topic for Vanth. But Vanth just shrugged and said, it was survival. Din blinked. Comfort, too, Vanth continued, his voice thick with disgust, with self-loathing. Even though now Vanth was on the other side, was a freedom fighter and a freedom runner. He killed slavers now and took in not just runaway slaves, but almost anyone who came through the desert needing Vanth's help. It was the promise of extra rations, a real bed to sleep in, a few hours off at the end of the week, that kind of thing. Oh, said Din. He wasn't sure what else he could say. He'd expected... Well, Din wasn't sure what he'd expected. Vanth had told him weeks ago that Vanth had been Dalahra, but he hadn't said why or how, just that he had been. There's another difference there, Din realized. He said that he was Dalahra, not that he's still that way. He talks now like he's just Ahran, a free man. Din couldn't be Mandalorian again. He had already broken the creed. There was no mending it. He'd never stop being Darmanda, not until someone did finally manage to kill him. But from the way Vanth talked, it sounded like one could move between the two, Dalahra and Ahra, based on the choices one made, based on who one helped or didn't help. A strange feeling prickled at the base of Din's skull, a phantom sensation like a hand in his hair. He swallowed. Is it for the Ahra, he thought. Is it that easy? Is it just a choice? Being Mandalorian was a choice, according to the creed, anyway. Din had been Mandalorian because he'd chosen to be, as a foundling, and he'd made that choice again and again every time he'd gotten up and put his helmet back on. But it's not, but I chose to be Darmanda, too. Din thought, frustrated. I chose Grogu over the creed. I chose to break it. I can't just put my helmet back on and decide to be Mandalorian again. Right? We're getting away from your original question, Vamp said, shaking his head a little. He flashed Din an apologetic glance. Which was what? What we do with the Dalahra? Din blinked, unsettled again, but nodded. That had been his original question. He didn't know entirely why he'd asked, but... But I do want to know, Din thought. The Ahra weren't Mandalorians, but they weren't all that different from Mandalorians either. Kind of like Tuskens. Tuskens and Mandalorians were separate peoples. Din was probably the only one who had been both. Vanth sighed. Honestly, he said. I do my best to just leave him alone. That was not the answer that Din had been expecting. He blinked quickly, trying to recover. You don't, he started, and Vanth shook his head. I help him when I can, he said. If I can do it without putting anyone else but me at risk. I have killed a few, But it wasn't. I didn't kill him because I wanted to, because I thought I was supposed to. It was just survival. But they're traitors, Din said. They are, Vanth agreed. But that doesn't mean that they're always going to be traitors. Look at me. I came around eventually. Took me longer than it should have, but I got wise. Well, wiser. If Mosespa's Babs had decided to kill me instead of hounding me enough that I came to my senses, I never would have made it out here. Din had had that same thought. Not about Vanth, but about himself. If Din had done the honorable thing after he'd broken the creed on Morak, or what he'd always been told was the honorable thing, he would be long dead, most likely. None of the things Din had managed to do since then would have happened. Din had protected the palace, he'd protected Geeta, he and Fennec had brought down Jassa's slaving ring. If I had let Paz kill me, Paz would probably be dead too. The infection in his broken leg would have carried him off. That would have left Strill and Jag with three foundlings on their own, hunted by the Empire. I've already had this argument with myself, Din thought, frustrated. He had. When he'd finally told Boba that he was Darmanda, Din had crashed in the desert and argued all of this out with himself. He reached the same conclusion now that he had reached then. Vanth was right. If Din had died, if he'd done what he'd always been told was honorable, was right, then a lot of others, Din's friends, his tribe, would be worse off. How is dying over a handful of words, over whether or not a living thing has seen my face, more honorable than living for my people? The thought was enormous. It was terrifying. But Din was right up against it now, staring it in the face, and he knew its answer, too. It's not more honorable. Vanth was right. An Ahran killing a Dal Ahran, even one who had done terrible things, took away that Dal Ahran's choice to make up for it, to atone. The creed. There's no room in the creed for atonement, Din thought. Boba... That upset him. He was angrier about that than about anything else. And Boba hadn't been angry at Din, either. He'd been angry with the creed itself. Being angry with the creed had honestly never really occurred to Din. It wasn't alive, it couldn't argue with him. He couldn't yell at it, couldn't rage, couldn't challenge it to a fight and beat it, win out over it, prove his strength against it. It just was. But it's not right, Din thought. It asks for too much. It asks for too much. Maybe that was why Boba had decided that he wasn't Mandalorian. Maybe Boba had looked at the creed, any creed, and decided that they asked too much of him for too little in return. That, Din thought, or he went to Mandalore looking for a creed and found only Mandalorians like Bo-Katan. Mandalorians of old families, old clans. Mandalorians whose ancestors had ruled Mandalore or fought for the right to rule Mandalore, who might have looked down on the son of a foundling and decided that he wasn't Mandalorian enough. Thinking about that made anger spike through Din's chest again, except this time it wasn't directed at Boba or even Din himself. It was directed at everyone else. At Bo-Katan Kryze, at Din Zalor, at the elders of his covert, and it was as sharp as a spear. Who among the children of the Watch decided that it was Darmanda to show their faces? Din wondered. He had never thought to ask that question before. It couldn't have just been Din Zalor, because Jag and Strill were from a different covert, but still kept to the same creed. Had it been a council of Valore? How had they come up with the creed itself? Had they just taken the parts of the Rezalnare that they liked and tossed out the rest? Or had there been another creed that Deathwatch had followed in secret that the true Mandalorians hadn't known about? And who decided that once you'd broken the creed, Din thought, anger buzzing in the back of his mouth, You had broken it and it couldn't be repaired. Beskar could be reforged, and Vanth had said that he'd tried to help the Dalahra as he'd been helped, so that they could change and join the network properly. If they were killed, then nothing changes, Din thought. Anger rolled through him again. Din struggled with that anger for a while, trying to get a grip on it, to get it back under control. It was sharp like a spear, but not as easy to wield as one. Din wanted to aim it, wanted to find an easy target for it, but there wasn't one. He was furious with Kryze and his own Alor, but he was still furious with himself, too. With the Separatists who'd destroyed his home and tossed him out into the galaxy. With Boba. Vanth was watching Din carefully now, his expression thoughtful. He said, "Have you had somebody else to, I don't know, talk about this with? It ain't. I don't think that you being Dermanda and me being Dalahra was quite the same." "No," Din muttered, addressing Vanth's statement, not his question. "It's not." It was close, though. Din could see similar shapes, maybe, in the way Vanth talked about being Dalahra. It was similar enough that it had Din asking questions he'd never wanted to ask before, even when he'd been lying in a sand dune feeling sorry for himself. He shook his head a little to clear it. "It's not exactly something that other... that Mandalorians want to talk about," he muttered. "The kind of Mandalorian I was, it's not something that you can change. Being Dermanda, I mean. There's nothing I can do to become Mandalorian again." Vanth stared at Din, surprised. "Really?" he said. "But from the way you talk about it, you said that being Mandalorian's about wearing the armor, right? That's why you didn't want me to keep Fett's." Din winced at the reminder. He would have regretted shooting down Cobb Vanth, but nodded. "Sort of," he said. "We're supposed to wear armor, yes. We're my kind of Mandalorian. We don't show our faces." "But you still wear your armor," Vanth said, jerking his chin at Din's Beskar. Din's mouth twisted. "I know," he said. "I'm not supposed to anymore, but... but it was useful, and it was his, and Din needed it. He needed it. And so far, no other Mandalorians had been able to defeat him to take it off him, and now that Din was halfway decent with the Darksaber, it'd be that much harder for someone to take it away, and..." "Stop," Din told himself, wrenching his thoughts back with both hands. His heart was pounding again. That was not something Din had thought before. He'd had to consider what he'd do if he ran into Paz again before Din had managed to find signs of Paz and Macentha. He'd been prepared to defend himself, and had, if Paz had attacked him. But if someone else, if Kryze or the Alor, if another warrior from another covert tried to take my armor from me, I'd... what? Din thought. His fury had soured a little, transformed into a sick sensation writhing at the bottom of his stomach. I'd fight them, kill them if I had to. There were so few Mandalorians left already. To fight to the death, and with the Darksaber it would be a fight to the death, the weapon was too dangerous for anything else. With another over Din's armor. But it's mine. I earned it. Me. It wasn't given to me, it wasn't passed down to me. I wear it because I fought for it, because that was what Mandalorians did. They wore Beskar. Vanth had gone right to the heart of it all without even trying. That was why Din had assumed that Boba himself was Mandalorian after all. At first, anyway. Boba had insisted that the armor was his, that he had the claim to it. Later, it was the way Boba had acted, the honor he'd carried himself with, that had convinced Din that Boba was just a Mandalorian of a different way. But it had been Boba's determination to get his armor back that had convinced Din in the first place. "But it's mine," Din finished, aware of the way Vanth was watching him. and it is useful. Vanth cracked a smile, though his eyes were very grave. He had dark eyes, too. Not quite the same color as Boba's eyes or even Din's, but serious and intent. It is that, Vanth agreed. He searched Din's face again. You really don't have anybody you can talk about this with? Vanth asked. Not even Fett. Din grimaced. Vanth made a surprised noise, like he finally understood. Well, he said slowly, if you need to keep getting it out, I don't mind. It's just, I don't know how much help it's going to be. It's been helpful, Din said. He was calmer now, at least. His anger was less shapeless. He didn't feel ready to rush back to the palace and demand answers from Boba, beg apologies for Boba either, but he was less confused. The problem itself was clearer now, like a crate dragon that had finally emerged from the sands. It had been moving underneath Din's feet for weeks now, rumbling faintly underneath everything else he'd been dealing with. But now he could see it. The problem, Din thought to himself, is that I think the way that I was taught to be Mandalorian was wrong. It was a bit like getting punched in the nose. Like taking a knife to the side, a boot to the ribs. Even thinking it made Din want to put his arms up over his face, made him want to curl protectively over his chest, his belly. I was wrong, Din thought. He didn't know what to do about it. A crate dragon, a real crate dragon, could be fought. Even the greater crate had been able to be fought. It had taken all of Mos Pelgo and most of the Sun Rock, too, but they'd managed to bring it down. But this is something that I have to figure out on my own. Din missed Grogu then, with an ache that was just as sharp and deep as his grief over what had happened with Boba. Things had been simpler when it had just been Din and the kid. Frantic and confused in their own way, he supposed. But those problems, finding somewhere safe to refuel, figuring out what Grogu ate, keeping the bounty hunters off of their trail, had been ones that Din knew how to solve. This. Din shook his head again, more forcefully, clearing it a little. Talking to Vanth had helped. Din's thoughts were clearer now. The problem had shown itself. It was too much to expect for a solution to that problem to fall in Din's lap like a gift from the stars. It's been helpful, Din repeated firmly. He tried to flash Vanth a reassuring smile and wasn't quite sure that he managed it, though Vanth's intent expression did ease some. I still have a few days before the summit, so I've got some more time to figure this out. Summit, Vanth asked. You said that before. Of Mandalorians. Din nodded. All Mandalorians? As many as Kree's. She's a leader among us, I guess you could call her. A marshal, sort of. Confined. Is she one of your kind of Mandalorians? Vanth asked. I'm not too sure I understand the difference, he added, apologetic. That did get Din to smile. Me either, he admitted. Vanth snorted. No, Din continued, answering Vanth's question. She's from a different faction. What does her faction think about you being Darmanda? I don't know, Din said. It was easy to admit that to Vanth. One of the others who works under Kree's, she wasn't too happy to hear about it, but that's because, well, that's Mandalorian politics, I've been told. And you're going to the summit, Vanth asked. His wary expression was back. You're not going to get yourself killed there, are you? You're going to have somebody watching your back? Kree's has sworn that it's neutral ground, Din said. And she's... We disagree about some things, but she is honorable, I think. She wants to be heard more than she wants us at each other's throats, I think. Vanth didn't look convinced, so Din added. And Paz Vizsla, he's gone. Sura's kids, Strill and Jeg. They're leaving, Vanth asked, sounding surprised. They haven't said anything. They wouldn't, Din said. They just disappear one day. That's their way. It's safer. But yes, they said that they'd attend. Vizla's. Our tribe was attacked about a year ago. All of us were scattered. He's gonna see if he can find other survivors. And you're going to keep my word, Din said. He grimaced. As stupid as that makes me, I guess, I should just leave it all behind. If you need somewhere to hunker down for a while, we'll hide you, Vanth said very seriously. You might have to lose that armor of yours for a while, but we've got bolt holes, places to stick you if you need to go on the run. Din's smile was more genuine this time, less painful. Thanks, he said, and meant it. I did think about taking over your job for a minute.
Please, said Vanth immediately, eyes turning up in an answering smile. Anytime you want it, Aki, it's all yours. I'm ready for retirement. Want to try my hands at growing polta beans and riding Bantha, I think.
Din, who had had the same thought about growing polta beans, laughed. Could be fun, he said. Riding Banthas isn't too hard. They do most of the work for you. Vanth flashed Din a bright grin, then sobered a little again. Really, though, he said. Are you good? You need anything else I can do for you? Any other questions I can answer? Din was tired thinking about all of this, of trying to decide what it meant to be Mandalorian, of who was and wasn't one, and who'd made all of those distinctions in the first place. His chest was sore, grief was still braided through his ribs. He could still hear Boba's angry voice, the ice in it, the splinters of that anger stuck somewhere in the soft skin of Din's throat. But Boba... He told me to leave, Din reminded himself. Even if it's just for a few days, I need to respect that. We both need time to think about things. And Din was tired of feeling lonely. He was badly out of the habit now, and here was Cobb Vanth offering Din easy companionship, despite the fact that they really only knew each other because they'd killed a Krayt dragon together. Or, Vanth continued, looking back up at the stars, if you don't want to hash over Mando business anymore, I can fix us up a pot of calf and fill you in on what's been going on here instead. Din's shoulders dropped. Relief made him a little dizzy. Please, said Din, and took Vanth's offer with both hands. They passed the rest of the night in companionable calm, both of them determinedly talking about anything but Mandalorians. Vanth went inside for a few minutes, left Din studying the stars, then returned with a few battered earthenware mugs of gritty instant calf. They grimaced their way through their cups while Vanth filled Din in on Mos Pelgo's goings-on. Not just their official business, with more silicax pulled out of the mines every day, more goods passing through the town on their way to Bastine, but on the town gossip, too. Din listened with tired but amused interest. For such a small, far-flung town, Mos Pelgo had a lot going on. Duan, the Tusken scout, was apparently sweet on Belton, a young miner, and the two had been seen walking together in the canyons at twilight, shyly exchanging little gifts in the Tusken custom. Warrenuts and pressed flowers, bits of dyed cloth, small gemstones and fragments of crepe pearls for Belton to take back to his mother, and smooth, carefully carved animal figurines for Duan to take back to his. A Twi'lek mother had just welcomed a baby girl into her growing family. The town's small bantha herd, a gift from the Sun Rock, kept breaking out of their pen and wandering the canyons, and Banth's people, former slaves and smugglers and scouts, were turning into halfway decent ranchers trying to keep track of them all. The town was growing, too, slowly growing, adding only a new miner or scout or farmer every week or two. But that it was growing at all was apparently something of a desert miracle. Vanth told Din that Mos Pelgo had been shrinking for years before Din had helped Vanth slay the Krayt, and the new residents were something of a bit of a surprise. The polta beans were coming in, though, and the mine was turning a small profit, and the clink that flowed in with Boba's business was good for everyone. Mospelgo was happy, it was thriving. Din was glad to hear it. By the time the suns came up, filling Vanth's little courtyard with reddish light, Din was as caught up on Mospelgo's gossip as any local, and he was calmer, too. Still grieving, he thought, mostly wry now that he was on the other side of all that had happened back at the palace. But I have a lot to think about. Vanth, who'd only left Din's side twice to make a few more cups of calf, squinted at the rising sun and finally pushed his most recent mug aside. "Your folks'll be getting up right about now," Vanth said. He stretched, shoulders creaking, and stood. "They're up with the suns." "Thank you," Din said sincerely. He didn't just mean for the calf and the conversation. Vanth had taken Paz and the others in. He'd proven to be a steadfast friend. Din was grateful. Vanth flicked a careless hand. "It's no trouble, Mando. Really," he said. Din, through the worst of his anger and grief, sighed. "Vanth," he started. "I told you. Call me Din." Vanth's eyes turned up. "Cobb, then," he said. "I do mean it, though. You're always welcome here, even if you're coming in at the Anubis hour. You've done a lot for this town, we remember that." "All I did was kill a dragon," Din said. Vanth, Cobb, rolled his eyes. "Sure," he said, "that's all. Now, come on, let's get you to your people. I've got an early patrol with Kirsha and her crew, and it's going to take up most of the day." Din had already leaned heavily on Cobb's welcome, so even though he was slightly nervous about seeing Paz again, they had settled their disagreement, if something like what had happened in the palace could be called that. But that didn't mean that Paz wouldn't change his mind. He followed Vanth back up to the town proper. Din would have thought that Vanth and his people might stick guests in the cantina or maybe the barracks that housed Boba's guards, but to his surprise, Vanth led him over to one of the newer white wattle houses, where Zhaig, tall and solid, was leaning against the door. Standing watch, Din thought. He hesitated for a split second, lurking in Vanth's shadow. Din hadn't brought his helmet down to Mospelgo. He couldn't put it on even if he wanted to. And he wasn't sure that he wanted to. "Everyone knows that I'm Darmanda now," Din reminded himself. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to try and make the others comfortable. I'm probably gonna scare Paz's kids, but Zhaig." Zhaig was enough of an adult to have earned a spot with Strill and Paz. He could handle the sight of Din's bare face. Stealing himself, Din stepped out from behind Cobb and stood at his side. Zhaig looked at him. "Jaren," he said after a second. It wasn't Din's first name, and it wasn't even Strill's nickname for him, or Evod, but it was better than an insult or a curse. Din lifted his chin a little and wished that he'd had time to pull himself together. He was sure that he still looked like he'd been run over by Aranto, even with Cobb's help in calming Din down. "Zhaig," he said. "I'm here to see Paz. Is he around?" Zhaig steadied Din for a moment longer, but then he nodded. "He is, yeah," the younger Mandalorian said. "You want me to bring him out? I'd let you come in, but the kids..." Din didn't want to put Paz's kids through any more than he already had, so he just nodded. "If you could bring him out, I'd appreciate it," he said. Zhaig shrugged. "Can do," he said. "What's this about? Not trouble with that hut show boy again?" Zhaig, Din remembered, had left Paz and Strill during the raid to come and help clear Gorga's mercs out of the throne room. Remembering that dropped Din's guard a little. Zhaig had known then that Din was Darmanda, and he'd still come to fight. "No," Din assured him. "I'm just checking in, is all, before the summit." "Oh, yeah," said Zhaig. "Forgot about that. Hold on, will you?" Din nodded and waited a few paces back from the door. Cobb looked at him again. "You sure you got this, Din?" Cobb asked quietly. His laughing eyes were serious again. "If you need backup, I'm not half bad at scaring teenagers." Din gave his friend a small but genuine smile. "I'll be fine," he said. "Paz hasn't been able to beat me in a fight since we were kids, and last time we got into it, Strill didn't let Zhaig jump in." "Of course you didn't," Cobb muttered, rolling his eyes.
Well, if you need us to stage a rescue, I guess just blow something up, yeah? Not the cantina, though.
Not the cantina, Din agreed, grateful affection flooding his chest, easing some of the hurt that lingered there. But it'll be fine.
If you say so, Cobb said, and left it at that.
He went off in the direction of the barracks, still missing his bandana, and Din let him go. Cobb would be all right in the desert. He turned his attention back to the door in time to see it open. Jag came up first, a fire-puncher rifle in his hand. Din paled to see it, though Jag made no move to level it at Din, and Paz followed on his heels. Jag slipped past Din and headed off down the street in the opposite direction of Vanth. While Din watched, three Tuscans came down from their posts on the rooftops and encircled Jag excitedly, their hands moving fast.
He goes hunting with them most days, Paz said, following Din's line of sight.
Oh, Din thought, understanding. The three Tuscans must be Jag's friends, Doan, Aten, and Basa.
They any good? Din asked.
Paz shrugged.
They brought down one of those, what do you call them, the red-bellied lizards, the big ones.
Din raised an eyebrow and shot a more concerned glance after Jag and his Tuscan friends. They'd finished their greetings and were now moving towards the canyons. Din saw a cluster of bantha mounts waiting. It looked like Duan and his friends had even brought one for Jag.
A Sikh? Din asked, using the hut name for the animal.
Paz nodded.
That's the one, he said. They dragged one of those in the other day. Jag's got some Dikutla ideas to make a necklace or something out of its scales.
That'd be the Sun Rock's influence, Din said. He was impressed despite himself. Sikhs weren't quite as fearsome as crate dragons, but like most things on Tatooine, they were foul-tempered and dangerous when provoked. Paz made a non-committal sound, rough under his helmet, then folded his arms and looked Din up and down. Din lifted his chin again and met Paz's stare. Paz, for his part, looked better. He hadn't found any armor paint to repair all of the scrapes, scratches, and dents he'd accumulated in the year since the Navarro covert had fallen, but he hadn't picked up any new ones that Din noticed. He was standing well, too. It was obvious to see that his broken leg, now probably on its way to healing, as much as a break that bad would ever heal, still pained him, because he'd shifted all of his weight to his other hip, but he looked steady enough, at least. It was good to see him. Paz was quiet for a second, then he broke Din's gaze and looked down the street after Jag.
You look awful, Paz said, addressing the street.
Thank you, said Din dryly.
Paz snorted.
Really, though, he said.
What happened? Jag said you weren't attacked back at the palace, but...
We weren't attacked, Din said, studying Paz's armor. Neither Strill nor the kids had emerged from the house.
It's just... I've had a rough night, that's all.
Paz looked at Din again.
A rough night, he repeated, tone flat.
Do I really look that terrible, Din wondered. Or is it just that Paz isn't used to seeing my face?
I'm fine, Din said, brushing Paz's concern aside. The last thing he wanted to do right now, when Paz seemed willing enough to tolerate Din's presence without any violence, was bring up what was bothering Din. What made a Mandalorian, or made a Mandalorian Darmanda instead?
Did Paz know that Boba wasn't Mandalorian? Din wondered. Din had insisted to Paz that Boba was, just that he was a Mandalorian of a different way. Paz had at least said that he'd heard that other ways existed through Annika and the Allur. He hadn't said that he believed in other ways, but he said that Palas warned him about Boba when we were younger and Boba was more actively a hunter, Din remembered. Did he warn Paz that Boba would look like a Mandalorian, act like a Mandalorian even, but wouldn't actually be one? Din wasn't about to ask, though. That would tip Paz off. Paz was no Baroya, but he was clever enough, and he'd be able to figure out that Din looked so terrible because Din and Boba had fought.
I came to check up on you all, Din said. That's all. I had... One of Kreese's Mandalorians came by the palace. She's checking around to make sure that everyone who wants to attend Kreese's summit on Cronest is prepared to go.
Paz grunted.
You are going, Din said, suddenly unsure. Zhaig hadn't acted like a Mandalorian about to back up his covert and move on. He'd left the house with a rifle and his armor, but nothing else. Aren't you? Puz looked down at Din again. He'd always been able to do that, and it hadn't gotten any less irritating in the 30 or so years he and Din had been brothers. Din was still, now nearly 40, tempted to kick Paz in the shin to bring him down to Din's height. That's not gonna help anything either, Din told himself. He probably should have tried to sleep before coming to see Paz, but it was too late for that now. Yeah, Paz said finally. I'm going. Stroll and the kids, too. Din's eyebrows went up. Zhaig's not, he said. Paz shook his head, and somehow Din knew that he was frowning, that his face had pulled down, heavy with worry. No, he said. He wants to stay with the Sun Rock for a little while. Wants to learn what they can teach him, he says. Oh, Din said, surprised. He supposed that he shouldn't be. Cobb had said that Zhaig and the young Tuskens were getting along well, and if Duan was bringing a bantha for Zhaig to ride on, the Tuskens thought that Zhaig was worth their time and effort, too. Their offer to teach him would be sincere. That's not a bad thing, Din offered. Tuskens, they're survivors. They'll teach Zhaig a lot. If they don't get him killed chasing giant lizards all over the desert, Paz growled, but he shook his head. Strull's not. She doesn't know what to do, he said. Din blinked again, surprised. He hadn't. Din and Paz had settled their business. They'd spilled enough of each other's blood, pummeled enough of each other's sore spots. Paz had agreed to let Din be, and that was supposed to be the end of it. I didn't expect him to talk to me like this again. There's nothing she can do, really, Din pointed out quietly. Zhaig's old enough to go out on his own if he wants to. At least if he's with the Sun Rock, they'll look after him like he's one of their own. Will they? Yes, said Din honestly. They will. Paz grunted again. He stared off down the street. Zhaig and the Tuskens were gone now, no doubt riding down the canyons looking for trouble to get into. Din remembered those days fondly enough. He had learned a lot, even if he'd learned most of it by making an idiot out of himself trying to figure out how to stay on his bantha's back. How did you feel? Paz asked abruptly. When you let your kid go off with the Jedi? Din did stare at Paz this time, too surprised to say anything for several seconds. Paz wasn't like this. He wasn't thoughtful or pensive. He was... But he has kids of his own now, too, Din thought. He has foundlings to worry about. And Strill and Zhaig, they're not kids, but they look to Paz like he's their allure. They're his responsibility. I felt... I don't know, Din said, honest again. Paz snorted, disbelieving, but Din pressed on. In the moment, I was pretty concussed, Din pointed out. We'd just taken the light cruiser from Gideon. I was... Honestly, about 2 seconds after the Jedi closed the lift behind him, I hit the floor. I was 3 days in Bacta. And then Din had let himself grieve. Had grieved too much, maybe. He had come to Tatooine an ashen shell of himself, almost. Din had lurked around the light cruiser for weeks, snappish and strange. And then I missed him, Din admitted. But he's where he needs to be for now. The Jedi are going to help him get a handle on his powers. I know where he is. I can visit. Paz just grunted again. Yeah, he said. I suppose. Din sighed. That's all I wanted, really, he said, feeling awkward and out of place. Din wasn't Paz's brother, not anymore. They couldn't. They didn't have the creed in common, the covert, the foundlings that Paz had taught and Din had armored. Din didn't know what to say. It's not like I can ask him how he feels about the creed, Din thought, faintly frustrated again. I know how he feels about it.
I know how he feels about me. He's not gonna have any insight that's gonna help me untangle this. And even if Paz did have some insight, Din wasn't sure that he wanted to push it out of him. He had had a hard year, too, and he was proud of being Mandalorian, proud of following the creed. Din... I don't have the right to ruin that for him, Din thought. To make him doubt it, to make him wonder if it was right or wrong. If our creed is cruel because of what it asks us to do, to give up. Din cleared his throat and shifted his weight back on his heels. He wasn't sure what to do with his hands, so he tucked them into his belt. So I'll see you at the summit, then, Din said. On Kernest, I'll meet you there. Paz took his eyes off the street, the canyons that were starting to shimmer in the heat, and looked at Din like he thought that Din was being stupid. Dinika, he said. Come inside. For the fourth time in as many minutes, Paz surprised Din into silence. You didn't come out here just to make sure we have fuel in the ship, Paz added crossly. He folded his arms across his chest and loomed up to his full height. Din still sort of wanted to kick him. You came out here because you wanted to talk. Because you're hurt and you're doing what you always do when you're hurt. You're getting yourself patched up. Din balked, but Paz was right, Karkim. He was right. Din had gone to Paz and Annika to have his injuries patched up, since they were all teenagers Zhaig's age. Din's wound now wasn't something that Paz could bind up or slap back to On, wasn't an infection Paz could drain away or a bone he could set, but... We don't, Din started, but Paz just shook his head. Don't make me get Strill, Pa said, his tone dangerously pleasant. She's been asking around town about you. Come inside, Jaren. I'm not going to rush you. All right? Din looked at the door behind Pa's. He swallowed. Something new, something warm, unfurled itself in Din's chest. All right, he agreed, and followed Pa's inside.